That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this 10th day of March 2012.
Don't give in.
Hope you'll join us. Pour yourself a cup of coffee. Get your Bible opened up. And join us. We're here. We hope you'll be here with us. Hope you enjoy this song. We'll be right back after this.
The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And here we are, Saturday morning once again. And we're enjoying coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. This is Wrangler Richard here behind the microphone. And oh, I've got some friends with me this morning. Good morning, Mr. Kyle.
Good morning.
Got Mr. Kyle here at the ranch, and good morning, Mr. Jason.
Good morning, Richard.
And good morning, Mr. John.
Good morning.
Got John and Jason joining us from LaPorte, and what a beautiful day. Guys, have you had a chance to look outside yet today?
Nope.
Yep, it's awful beautiful out here today.
It is. It is here, too. Well, Mr. Kyle, would you open us up in prayer, and then,
absolutely,
like we say, where we go from there, who knows?
Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we do come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to gather around the microphone and have some fellowship. We thank you for your Son, Lord, the Son who died on the cross for us, for me. I thank you so much. They took the pains and the blows for us. We come to you this morning humbly, Lord. We ask for your guidance, direction. Lead us where you want us to go. Put your thoughts in our minds, Lord. Put your desires in our hearts. Let us be the servants that you want us to be. Than we want to be. But righteousness, if it doesn't dwell in our land, Lord, let it dwell amongst us. And justice. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you've joined us before, over the years that we've done Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, you know that that's how we start out Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We have our coffee poured. We have our Bibles open. And we certainly are going to ask our Lord's blessings on it. And from there, it's anybody's guess. I remember the pastor saying that time and time again. You just never know where we're going to go. It's not like what he would call the big boy shows, you know, where they have just teams of script writers and research analysts and all this stuff to research and put all this stuff before them and to get them to say what they wanted to say. Nope, here, it's just the leading of the Holy Spirit and whichever way we go. So why don't we start in LaPorte today, Kyle? What do you think?
It sounds good to me.
All right. We'll turn it over to LaPorte, guys. How are things going down there? Jason, how'd your program go last night?
It went real well. We just we ran out of time. That was kind of the problem. There was so much information there that we just didn't have enough time. We're going to do some follow-up shows here in the future. We were talking about DC Street Sorcery and had Adam on the line, and we were going over and talking about some of the new discoveries that are going on out there in DC and just how these sorcerers are working, and he's got some real in-depth, insightful information that hopefully I'll be able to give everybody an update on that here in the next couple of weeks and let you know how that's coming. But we had a really good show. I really enjoyed it, and it was very insightful to me, and really made a lot of sense, tied a lot of things together. So I hope we're going to continue on. He's continuing on in his research there, and we're going to just continue on to get this information out.
Great. I know we still get many phone calls, emails, letters, people asking about DC Street Sorcery too. Right before we went on the air live this morning, I got a call from Miss Dorothy down in Tampa, Florida, and said she enjoys listening to our program, and she was saying that they were looking forward to getting DC Street Sorcery too. So it is something that I think the first one really hit a nerve with the people. It opened a lot of eyes, and I think the second one, is as time goes on and we're able to put that together, it's apparent that it is still something that's very important to the people out there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yep, it is. So we'll be giving people updates in the future on that and letting you know what's going on there. But it's exciting. It's exciting times that we're living in. And I believe that it was, you know, all this knowledge has been hidden from us, but it's the time for it to be revealed. And this is a really great discovery that has just been hidden from us. You know, we don't have any knowledge of it. It's been hidden in plain sight, and we didn't know that it was there. And you can't combat an enemy that you don't believe exists, and you can't fight against their weapons of warfare when you don't know what they are or how they work. And that's what we're trying to do, is trying to figure out how they're doing their diabolical plans, what they're planning, and what they're using against us. Because when you really see what they're doing against us, then you can combat them a lot more effectively. And that's what we're in. We're in spiritual warfare right now, and we're fighting. We've got so many enemies that, they're all around us. But when you start to recognize that you do have enemies, then you can actually get down and start fighting back against them.
Yeah, it's interesting, the name of the man that God chose to reveal that to his people.
Yes, it is. Adam, first man.
Yep.
And so much of this, what's going on, is back in the book of Genesis. We can read about so many of these things in the book of Genesis. And it's really interesting to me to see how science is, it's never that the Bible catches up with science, but science, you know, they come out with more discoveries, and all these newer discoveries, so to speak, the discoveries that we've had in the last 20 years or 100 years, have all gone back and proved the Bible to be accurate. And we already know that it's accurate. We've got all this information, and scientists come out and say, you know, this is a new discovery. No, it's not a new discovery. It's something that was talked about in the book of Genesis.
Right.
And that's exciting. That's really exciting,
yeah, amen.
If you ask me.
It is.
It was kind of switching gears. Did anybody watch what's going on with these computer hackers going out this? I don't even know the name of the group, but I guess there is a couple of them. But the hacking group that's been hacking all the computers across the country, or so-called or allegedly hacking all the computers.
Is that the one that they said they caught one of them, or one of them they got taken care of? But I saw a little bit about it, but I haven't seen. Is that the, they, here it is, LulzSec or something like that? Is that what they call it? LulzSec?
Yeah, that's one of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just kind of interesting because, you know, this week, allegedly, and they're saying that it happened by a hackers group, but it was hacked the school board elections for the school district in Washington, D.C. got supposedly, allegedly hacked, and they put on cartoon characters onto the electronic voting polls and on the ballot. So you go to vote, and all of a sudden that there's cartoon characters that you can vote on for school district members. And, you know, I thought that was pretty funny at first.
They'd probably be better off.
It's interesting because I think is what's going on right now is, you know, the Obama administration, they're not talking a whole lot about the election. They're just going on doing their thing. And we already know that your vote doesn't count. We've seen that from time and time again. We saw that in elections down in Florida a couple years ago on a state level, where they proved without a shadow of a doubt that that somebody else had won, and they put somebody else in there.
Yeah,
and that's what, you know, that goes on all the time. But I think is what might be going on here is they might be trying to cover some of their tracks. Because they're pushing this all electronic voting, and they've been pushing. Last year was the big deal, was they came out with new machines that cannot be hacked. There's no way for them to be hacked.
Cannot be hacked.
They got a hacking group that's hacking them.
Yeah.
And we're getting ready for elections, and I think that they're planning on putting in there whoever they have picked out, just like they always do. But then they have a way out. They have a backup plan. They have established a record on that these voting machines can, in fact, be hacked.
Right. So they'll tell you.
Might as well just leave the same guy in there.
Right. They'll tell you on the one hand that these machines can't be hacked. They're good. It's perfect. It will be fine. But like you said, Jason, they leave a way out so that if something comes up in the future, they can say, well, you know, these other guys hacked into it. And
they've already got a culprit out there. Oh, it's this hacking group that is trying to cause all this chaos in this land and all this, you know, they're attacking us and this is war.
Yeah.
You guys will get a kick out of this. I was looking through some headlines, and one of the headlines is White House organizes prayer vigil for Obamacare outside Supreme Court. What they don't tell you is that the sale of prayer rugs went up and they were facing Mecca. Unbelievable.
Ooh.
I heard Richard on Thursday night talking about that, well, let's just say, Antichrist spiritual leader to be
signed. Obama's little spiritual leader, that liberal pastor Jim Wallace.
Yeah, he says, we're not a Christian nation, never have been. The framework was never set up for that. Where in the Bible does it talk about the United States, you know?
But yeah.
Obviously, he's...
Well, and when we talked about that, it's like just by saying that, you know, we've heard, and I remember hearing from the pastor, you know, he taught us what he learned. If a people can control your past, they can control your future. And this guy's just one in a long line of antichrists, of liars that come up and say that. America was never formed as a Christian nation. Nowhere in the Bible can you see it. Well, if you want to see it in the Bible, if you don't want to see it in the Bible, you won't. But if you want to, you know, the pastor put together a little booklet, The Greatest Discovery of Our Age, and it basically lists scripture verse after scripture verse, you know, where his people were to have a new Jerusalem, and they would have a western sea and an eastern sea. And they were to be a land of unwalled villages. and he was going to pull one from a city and two from a town and things like that. And some of those are paraphrases, but those concepts. And a nation would be born in a day and all those things. And, John, I think that ties right back to what Jason was saying. You know, it's not a new discovery that this happened. It's just the greatest discovery. You know,
yeah.
It's not that this is new stuff coming out. And even this, this liar, Jim Wallace.
Yeah.
Because that's what he is. He's just a liar. We might as well call him what he is.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll save some of those other words for later. but he is. He's just a liar. And, I think God will use this, him saying this, for people to say, well, I thought it was a Christian nation. And that might get them, wanting to look into it to see that, yes, truly it was formed that way.
Yeah, I think of the scripture we read last week, here's Obama and these so-called praying in front of the Supreme Court, but they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satisfied with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. The Lord laughs.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we know they're not praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
No. Have you seen?
No, and their God is basically themselves when it boils down to it.
Yep, that's a fact. Well, did you see, this is interesting too, really. There was another story, I'll just paraphrase it, but apparently they called all the head bishops of the Catholic Church in for a meeting with the Obama administration, and the one bishop said, so let me get this straight, all of the contraception issues and all that, that's off the table? And they said, well, we have nothing to talk about then. And then the Obama administration says, you need to listen to I can't even remember all the words, but like a higher power, basically saying that he needs to listen to them and to Obama over even, their God or whatever. So it's amazing, the arrogance.
Yep, it is. And I think that we're dealing with, that's one of the things that we were talking about last night on the program, was that we're dealing with a collective consciousness, and that's what DC is designed to do and is doing. It's transmitting these signals that, you look around and you see these things going on. I mean, you can see them in all over. Where's the emotion? Where's the outcry? Where is, are these things that are happening, they don't bother people anymore. They don't make them angry. They don't upset them. They don't make them cry. They have taken out the emotion out of all these things and
hardened their hearts.
Exactly, hardened the hearts. They've used so many weapons, but one of the things that they've used is this sorcery, broadcasting a frequency across this land that is taking people's minds and captivating them, and we need to break through, and we need to do our best and whatever we can to get some emotion back. If these things that are going on in this country don't bother you, then you think to yourself, is that right? There's something wrong. And it's not that you have to go out and do anything, but you can pray. And that's what this is about, is praying. When we get our hearts back in line with Christ and we cry out to him, then we get answers.
That's true.
Yeah.
What you're saying here is we need to be able to, as a people, discern good from evil, and that's been taken away. And obviously it's quite clear in the Bible how you get to the point where you can discern good and evil, and that is you practice, you exercise yourself in the Word of God.
Yes.
And the further they get you from the Word of God, by the, you know, I mean, I don't care how many bishops meet with the government. I mean, if the Bible isn't open in front of them saying, this is our standard.
Thus saith the Lord.
Yeah, it is written. Whatever, however they want to do it, they will not be able to discern good from evil. You know, I mean, yeah, the bishops are having a big problem with the condoms or whatever, you know, while their organization is as filthy as you know,
as it can be.
As it can be, yeah. Because they can't discern good from evil.
Yeah.
Well, and it's just, I remember talking to a man who spent some time over in China and Japan years ago, and he was telling me about China and how this was, I think this was probably about 10 years ago, but he was telling me that you're walking down the street and if somebody falls over and is dying, everybody just on the street, they just keep walking. You know, it's no big deal. There is no, it's like they are such a hard, they have hardened hearts and there's no emotion. And that's what he was going on and on about. Then there was no emotion. Somebody could be dying or having a heart attack or falling over in the street or fell into traffic, or an old person would be, you know, having a stroke, and everybody just kept walking, and it was no big deal. And
no compassion.
No compassion.
Right, none. No love.
But
it's not written on their hearts either. That's what we got to remember.
Well, it's what's happened here. It was written on our hearts at one time, and that's what, you know, this was 10 years ago. I've talked to several people that had been over there and seen this and experienced the same thing, and they talked about it being, you know, so noticeable and so obvious. But you look at what's going on today here in our country, and, you know, you might not see it with your own eyes, but you see it on the television every day.
Yes.
You see it in the newspapers every day.
Yeah.
You know, there's murders in, you know, not every major city, but almost every, you know, we're not a major city, but that we got murders up here in northern Colorado on a regular basis now. And you read about them in the papers, you see them on the news, and it's like, oh, okay, you know, people look at it and go on and don't give it a second thought.
Absolutely. You know, when you were talking, Jason, the thoughts that occurred to me was turning to Second Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3, and the heading is Difficult Times Will Come. And it says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come.
Yeah.
Men will be lovers of self. And then it lists all these different things. Lovers of money. Don't we see that? Greed and idolatry are more important to people than stopping and helping someone. Their love for each other has grown cold. And it says that they will be unloving, it says down in 3:3, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited. Boy, don't we see that in the White House today, the conceit that there, you know what, doesn't stink, and that they think they are God. They think that if they think it and say it, it is law. And the only one that does that is God himself. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And it says, avoid such men as these. And I think it comes right back down to, by their fruits you shall know them.
Yep.
I've heard that very thing, Jason, about how the culture in the Eastern nations, Japan and China and even in some of their islands and things like that, that, yeah, they have no love for their brethren. Well, our culture has always been different. Contrary to what that liar Pastor Willis says, you know, our culture has always been different. We've always had a love for the brethren. But the last days are upon us. It is what the Word says. We can see, and people say, well, how do you know the last days are? Look around. And what Jason described is exactly what's going on. Our culture has changed. And the Bible tells us when that will happen. It happens in the last days.
Listen to this quote from that Jim Wallis, the liar we're talking about, Obama's spiritual advisor. listen to this quote and tell me it's not directed or who it's directed to. We are accountable to God's purpose and God's principles. But there's no special covenant with America here, Wallace continued. It doesn't exist. And to say so is really a heresy. America's exceptionalism, theologically, is a heresy. It's not true, and it's very dangerous. Now, I wonder who that's directed at. Who did God make a special covenant with?
Oh, yeah.
That's totally directed right at Christian Israel. Because they know that, I mean, they know the Bible better than most of us. They know that this is the only way out of this thing.
You know, the other thing that came to mind, I had that in my article, John. I read that. But when you said it, 2 Peter 2:12, read that very first part again. The very first part where you started.
We are accountable to God's purpose and God's principle.
Okay, that's right. They are listen to it this way. They are accountable to God's purpose. You know what they are in God's purpose? You ever heard of 2 Peter?
Cares.
You ever heard of 2 Peter 2:12? This is God's purpose for them. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of these creatures also be destroyed, suffering wrong as the wages of doing wrong. They count it as a pleasure to revel in the daytime. They are stains and blemishes, reveling in their deceptions as they carouse with you, having eyes full of adultery and never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. That's God's plan for them. And when his people will finally follow 2 Chronicles 7:14, then God's plan for them will come true and will come to pass.
Amen.
But anyway, it you know, the thought of the last days has sure been on my mind lately. That just seems to be you know, coming up time and time again. It was the last days for those people that were killed 2 weeks ago in the tornadoes that ravaged through our land. It was their last day. It was their last days. You know, whether they were righteous and move on to the, you know, to the glory of Jesus Christ or if they were the unrighteous and move on to the judgment that comes. Either way. You know, that last day, we all will have to face it, whether we get to all be here when the absolute last day gets here or not. I don't think it really matters. Kyle's got something. He's turned somewhere. It looks like he's got a
I do. When you were talking,
comment on it.
Yeah, 1 Timothy 4, first part of the chapter says, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And that, you know, when you guys are talking, it's just like, well, that's exactly where we're at today. And then if you drop on down to verse 13 of this same chapter, it says, Till I come, and this is Paul talking to Timothy, or writing to Timothy, Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And, even though we are completely in Babylon, I would never disagree with that. But, you know, I remember so was Daniel. So was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in Babylon.
Yes.
But they didn't bow their knee to Baal. They didn't, you know, they didn't drop down and worship false gods. I'm sure, you know, we don't know the whole thing that they did every day of their life. You know, maybe they had to get some type of a form to ride a chariot down the road. I have no idea. But I do know one thing. That they did not lose their jurisdiction, which was their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah.
Amen.
Well, and I think something, too, in the times that we're living in is to remember is Romans 12:2 that says, And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your minds, that you may prove what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that's what we're talking about, is people's minds changing. In the end times, people's minds change different ways. How's yours going to be changed?
Amen. How are we to be found?
And another thing that people really don't take very seriously, but is helping the wicked and loving those who hate the Lord and bringing the wrath of God down upon yourself.
Yeah, which when you get right down to it, that's a lack of brotherly love when you do that, because if you know better, then God has given you something that makes you know better. And if you hide it, if you put it under the rock, if you don't let your light shine and say, and warn people and say, listen, I'm telling you, they're wicked. You know, I mean, if you just, you know, condole it, or, you know, a lot of times saying nothing is going along with it. You know, and I mean, when you read about the men of the Bible, the men of God, you read about them because they weren't sitting back saying nothing.
Right.
They were saying something. And if you care about the sheep, if you care about the brethren, you're going to say, I'm sorry, but that guy over there, he's a wolf. And you need to, you know, and if they get mad at you and if they hate you because you call their pet snake a wolf, that's their problem. You know, you tried to tell them, you tried to say, hey, I love you and I don't want to see you be devoured. You know, but, so, you're
yeah,
right.
Well, it's all the parable of the wheat and the tares, really. You know, the tares are becoming bold and brazen, and in the last days, like it says in Matthew 13:39, it says, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of an age, and the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. Well, we long for that day. But I tell you what, I read a story this week that just infuriated me. Some liberal, I'm sure a dyke back east, made a statement that Jesus Christ may have been a hermaphrodite. How do we know? There's no proof that he was a man. And oh, I tell you what, I was enraged. I just went to imprecatory prayer instantly. But that's how bold and brazen they,
right.
These people have become. I mean, how could you get any more blasphemy than that?
Right.
You know?
And they just continue to deny him day after day. You know, even though, you know, like Jason started off the program today, in the scientific world, you know, the last 20, 30 years, all these new discoveries that have been made that prove the Bible or prove this part of it or prove that part of it, and they come out like that's something new. We know the Bible is the Word of God. We know that Jesus Christ was a man because the Bible says it. And we know that he died on that cross because the Bible says it. And we know that 3 days later he overcame death and he came out of that tomb. And we know that because the Bible says it.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You got these liars, like you say, that bring up this, that we're not a Christian nation, never have been. But you realize in 1983, what was that, public law
287-280. Yeah, 280.
Yeah, but, I mean, that wasn't that long ago when both houses declared that the Bible was the Word of God and that we should follow the Bible.
Yes.
I mean, how's that possible?
It's absolute possible because we're in the last days, and the mockers have come.
I guess we just read it. In the last days, the terrors will
be. Yeah.
Here's a verse that kind of goes along with exactly what Jason was talking about in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God, the small g God, of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not. And that's what they did, you know. And when you don't have, you know, who was this guy that was with Obama? Was he some type of minister?
Yeah, he's a liberal left-wing.
He's a spiritual advisor for the Obama administration.
So when every minister that pretends like they are a preacher or a man of God across this land doesn't stand up and point their finger at that man and say, snake, wolf,
right.
You know, whatever they want to say, when they don't do that, that's, you know, who's that effect? It affects the minds of the ones who believe not. You know, and that's exactly what it says here with that small g God.
Right. That's exactly
interesting what to
doing.
Read the comments of the people, though, when you look at those articles. For the majority of them are not fooled, and they're
right.
They kind of laugh in their face.
Right. And you know, John, if we could just get those people that make those good comments, if we could just get them to vote, you know, then they could vote in a good Christian candidate. Because look at California. You know, the people that vote in California have turned down the law of same-sex marriage time after time after. They vote it down sometimes 70% against it. And what do the filthy, dirty bird judges do? They just pass it anyway. And if the people, you know, it's long been said that as goes California, so goes the nation.
Yeah.
You know, that California is always first with things that happen. And it's pretty well true. You look at the divorce rate that went crazy in California first, and then the nation followed suit. As just one example. But if the people would just look and see that the people of California have voted and voted and voted, and even if the vote comes out and shows that the people overwhelmingly don't want something, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. They just have a judge just change it over.
Yeah, I got into a somewhat of a heated battle with some friends of mine the other day on this. Kirk Cameron's got this new movie coming out, Monumental, and it looks good. You know, he says he's bringing us back to our roots and this and that. I'm sure there's some Judeo-Christian truths in it, but I watched an interview with this Pierce, whatever his name is, that liberal jackass from over England or something. But anyways, he asked him point blank, do you believe homosexuality is a sin? And he would not say yes. He just beat around the bush. And then it said, do you believe that gay marriage is a sin? I mean, point blank, do you believe this? And would not answer it. So, you know, just beat around the bush. Well, I think it's detrimental to families, and, you know.
Yeah.
Snake.
Yeah,
lukewarm,
exactly.
False prophet,
right.
Name it.
Right.
Bring it on. And he was defending it. Well, yeah, but look at how much better he is than everybody else. I said, I don't care. He had a chance right there to proclaim the truth, and he didn't because of what it would do to
his
finances,
for fear of the Jews.
Yeah.
Is what it is. And that's what the Bible, you know, that's not a new discovery. That's what
the
Bible calls it.
Well, it's not just Jews. That's one of the things that they've boxed us in. They've got us to thinking, okay, it's the Jews here, the Jews there. More, we need to think of Antichrist or tares.
Right.
Use biblical terms.
Agreed.
Because just the Jew issue has been one of those things that has boxed so many people in. Oh, the Jews are doing this, the Jews are doing that. If we go back to biblical terms, we're talking Antichrist, tares, snakes. Those are the ones that are behind it. And a lot of times they were just the hands of the Jews were in their pawns being manipulated by them.
Yeah. Here's a good headline. There's something good coming out of all this negative economy. Banks are foreclosing on churches in record numbers.
Ooh, wow.
Praise the Lord. Highest proportion of churches being seized is in California, Georgia, Florida, and Michigan.
Well, you know what? That fits in with what we were talking about. Santa Kirk Chronicles 19:2 that says, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord and so bring the wrath on yourself from the Lord?
Yeah.
You know, who do you think those churches promote and love and send money to and take donations to?
Oh, yeah. They do. They do. And you can bet your boots and throw in your spurs, to quote our pastor, that
Amen.
They do not preach the true biblical plan of salvation.
Nope.
I bet if you could look at those, Jason, that 99 out of 100, if not every single one of those churches, just tell you to say the sinner's prayer like old Billy Graham did. Just accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and you shall be saved.
I believe.
And you will be saved. And that's what they put out. And it's a false doctrine. It's a half-truth. It's a lie. It's not the complete story at all. And they are not built on the rock of Jesus Christ. And so these hard times come, this storm comes, and great is the fall of those houses.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, there's definitely
not that much. It is exciting times that we're living in. You know, it really is. Because we've got to start thinking about, okay, you know, we're seeing the beginning of the fall of Babylon, this Babylonian system. And afterwards, just like when those walls of Jericho came tumbling down and the children of Israel got to go in, they had, you know, they were fighting giants at that time, but look what they had to look forward to. They had this land that the Lord had given them to rebuild upon. And I think that that's one of the things that we got to start thinking, kingdom thinking, start thinking about, you know, how things are going to be different. Because we've got to give our people hope. You know, our people got to have something to look forward to. They got to smile at that future. And, you know, wouldn't it be great to have this land with no homosexuals, no gay marriage?
I mean,
that'd be a pretty awesome thing.
Yeah.
No interracial marriage?
Well, that's coming. You know, I mean, that's already been written. That's already been, you know, if you believe.
But the people have to think it. They have to realize that that is coming.
That's true, but they also need to realize that the kingdom of God is now. I serve a king. His name's Jesus Christ. It's not Obama. It's not Bush. It's not Clinton. Yeah. It's now. You know, there's been generations of our forefathers who have lived and died in what we're calling right now Babylon,
mm-hmm.
you know. So they had the promise of what was coming, just like those men of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. They have that promise. We have that promise. And yes, we need to talk about that, but we also need to talk about, let's act like we're in the kingdom now. Let's act like, you know, a man of God, Joshua, or even Daniel, or like I said earlier, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and say, I was baptized into the kingdom, not the kingdom coming. I was baptized into the kingdom of God, and I'm there now because he's my king. I'm his servant. You know, and quit acting like, well, it's Babylon. And I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about everybody. What can we do? What can we do? You know, oh, I'm scared. You know, stop it. You know?
Right.
Yeah, there are certain things we have to do because this land we live in is Babylon. But we can just serve our king, try to live the word of God, you know, what we know of it anyway, because I'm sure there's many things we don't know and don't know what we should be doing. But, you know, it's now, because we could die tomorrow.
Right.
You know, and that hope of the future kingdom where there's no tears, that's great. I love that hope. You know, that's going to be fantastic. But I could die tomorrow and in the flesh not see that, you know, until until I'm rose from the dead and can live with Christ like so many of our forefathers are waiting on right now, which will be a blink in the eye. I realize that, but.
So what do you what's a person to do though? I mean, how do you discern we're coming to the point where it's, you know, serve God on a lot of issues or serve man, the captivity that we've been in.
Well, the first thing they have to do is they have to get out of the jurisdiction of man.
Yeah, but a lot of people are in this Babylonian system so bad that you can't. I mean, how can you go, you know, buy a house without going into debt?
Well, when you're trying to appease a Jezebel wife, you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's one thing that I would say, Jason. You know, there is a way to do it, but it's not the way of the world.
Well,
it can be done. It just, there's different parts of the world, you know, different parts of this country that you can do that, but they've done everything they can to lock that up in every which way.
Right.
And there's salvation issues, and then there's other issues. If you have a house, buying a house, and you own a mortgage, are you going to hell?
Because of that?
No.
No. But if you don't pray to God, if you don't, you know, act like Jesus Christ is your king, are you going to hell? Yes. There's no doubt about it. You know, there's a redemption process, which is, it's like a contract. You know, we were sold for nothing. Yes. Way back there when God divorced Israel, we were sold for nothing. And we were bought back with the precious blood of the Lord. And when you go through that redemption process and you're bought back, well, all of a sudden, everything is okay, salvation issues. I mean, yes. There's no, you know, personal or national. It kind of, if you take care of the personal, I guarantee the national will come back.
Yes.
You know, and so it's that jurisdiction. You know, I mean, yes, you know, you rent or you have a mortgage or you have a car payment or you have these Babylon issues, but they're not salvation issues. What salvation is when they walk up to you with a gun in your head and say, you're going to deny Jesus Christ or I'm going to blow your head out. Then you're going to say, well, then you're going to have to start shooting because I'm never going to deny my king. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Quite an advantage to war, though, when the worst thing they can do is give you eternal life.
Yeah, that's
absolutely,
quite
a, yep.
Yeah, it is. It is. And that's what, if the people would realize that, yeah, and what so many of them focus on is just what you said, Kyle, the physical. They think that if they can buy a house without going into a mortgage, they're saved. That's salvation for them, you know, because they're obeying the law. And there's a fine line there, but the people have to understand that there are salvation issues, and then there are issues that are not salvation issues, that are, you know, they may be obedience issues, they may be issues that get you more blessings than curses type thing. In the health field, in the economics field, that type thing.
Well, there's no getting around it. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know, and that's been taken out. I mean, there's no getting around it. You know, but I heard a message, an old message by Pastor Peters the other day where he's like saying, well, when you can't go up and hide either. I mean, you can attempt it. Who wouldn't want to live in the hills all by themselves and not have to deal with Babylon? You know, but... And he made the comment in this message. He said, did that work for Randy Weaver? You know, and it's just like, you know, and when the truth all comes out on that, you know, who knows how much of a Christian he was or what, that's beside the point. You know, we live in this world in the flesh right now. You know, and it's like Jason said earlier, they are trying to captivate our minds. You know, and the only thing that's going to keep them from captivating our minds is the Word of God.
Yep, keeping your mind full of Christ and
yep.
The Word.
Well, and like you said, is as far as them being in the kingdom, were they in the kingdom or not? No, I don't believe that they
right.
were. You know, was Randy yeah. Weaver baptized?
Right. Probably not. I mean, after all the truth came out, probably not. I have no idea, but really, you know, trying to escape. You know, it sounds great, especially to men. You know. I mean, wouldn't that be great just to have your own 40 acres where nobody ever bothered you and you were surrounded and you could live there? I mean, that's a vision we all have. You know, it's called freedom, you know. But in reality, it's tough to do, you know. So we need to worry about what we can worry about, and that is whom are we going to serve and are we going to do it the best to our capability.
Yep, absolutely. Just had an off-the-air caller and said... you know, in his prayers this morning, he was reminded that one of the most important teachings of our pastor was not to be double-minded.
Yeah. You know?
We appreciate the call, and I think absolutely that is true. We have to put on the mind of Christ. You know, when Christ walked the world, he had the devil tempt him, and he had everything in the world. You know, he saw the things that we saw, but he had on the mind of God. He had on the true, you know, it was kingdom thinking that he did. He knew how things were supposed to be. And the only way we can do that is to get that from the Word. Is we have to be grounded in the Word to have that, so that we are not double-minded.
And be followers of the King.
Yes. Yes.
Well, and I think that's what people need to hear, because most of them, they just want to go with, they'll go along with whatever the preacher says and say amen.
Yep, even if it's one of these false, you know, whether it's one of these left-wing liberal, they call him a pastor, you know, Willis, that is about as ungodly as they get, whether it's one of them or it's
Wallet.
One like yeah. an Oral Roberts or a Billy Graham that have the eye and the ear of the media, or a Joel Osteen, you know, or any of these mega church pastors that, I'm sorry, they're false prophets. They are either deceived or they are deceivers. Take your pick. Because they do not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They'll do just like you said, John. They'll skirt around the issue. God doesn't want you to do bad things. Or God wants to bless you. Or you have to believe. And they'll give you tidbits. You know, they'll give you maybe 98% good stuff. Just like rat poison does.
Yeah.
But there's that 2% in there that does the trick. That does what it's supposed to do. And
like Kyle says, if you attack their pet snake, don't be surprised if they attack you.
Right, right. You know, Miss Dorothy from Tampa, Florida called in, I said, right before we went on the program, and she was asking, I guess we said something about Billy Graham last week, some term or something. I don't know what it was other than just false prophet. I don't know if anybody else remembers. I think we did mention him because his son, Franklin Graham, was apologizing for...
not saying Obama was a Christian.
Not saying Obama's a Christian. And I think we all raised our hands and said, Obama's not a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Put this down. At 8 minutes till 8, Mountain Time, on Saturday morning, 3:10. He ain't a Christian, folks. It's as simple as that. By their fruits you shall know them.
And the truth of the matter is, Joel Osteen isn't a Christian.
Not, no. No,
yeah, amen.
They do not, and I think that the Bible verse that says they do not enter into the kingdom and they keep everybody else out as much as is possible.
And whether they're a son of hell or a twofold more son of hell, it doesn't matter.
Right, right. And so, you know, we have to realize this, you know, that the tares are out there, yes, but it's just fulfilling of Bible prophecy. It is, like Jason said, it is something for the people to have hope in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, when you're in a battle, you should have hope at least when you get to recognize who the enemy is. You know, okay, well, that should be hope because then you know who to come against.
And Paul had that hope when he said, whether I live or whether I die, I'm Christ.
Amen. Amen. And we have to have that same hope that he had. We really should. And hopefully that's what we're getting across to the people out here, guys, is that, you know, the these things are upon us. We are in Babylon. You know, the shootings going on, the lies that we see. Everything that you see on the media or that you see on the TV or on the news, it's, you know, if it doesn't gather toward Christ and gather for Christ, it scatters away. And I think about 99% of what you see scatters, you know, is meant to divide the body. It's meant to deceive. It is lies.
Going back to what that caller said about being double-minded, I don't know. In my spirit, I feel like we may have been somewhat double-minded today, and I just ask the Lord to forgive us. And, you know, we're doing the best we can, and we're not right all the time. And, you know, those that are the remnant, if you see something that we're saying that isn't in line with biblical truth, then by all means let us know, you know.
Right.
We're not perfect.
Well, you know, John, I think that's in the wisdom of our pastor. I think his wisdom continues to show through because he left four baptized Christian men, not perfect men, but men that have been forgiven, and men that all four have shown at least some good fruits.
Yeah, to carry on.
To carry on. And not just one in his wisdom, because four can be, you know, there's strength in a multitude of godly counsel.
Correct each other, yeah.
Right. And I think that in his wisdom, he certainly did that. Guys, we're about out of time. I wanted to leave this one scripture with the people, and it's Philippians 4, and it says, the Lord is near. It's Philippians 4. In 5, be anxious for nothing. And you know, I think that's enough right there. If we are Christ's, you know, how many verses come to mind? Doesn't he feed? You know, it's almost like a false spring here. It's not quite springtime, but boy, it's sunny, it's warm. The birds are out singing. You know, he fed all those birds all winter long. He took care of them. They come back every year. You know, he takes care of those things. Be anxious for nothing. We know we have bills. Boy, I got to get tires, and we got this we got to do, and boy, a dentist, and, you know, what am I going to do and work? And, you know, we have to understand we are Christ's. And, you know, he's never failed me yet. And so, you know, we want to leave that with you out there. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so, you know, even though we're in Babylon, even though these last days are upon us, let's obey the word and be anxious for nothing.
Amen.
Well, guys, we're down to about 2 minutes.
You got that this month's prayer there, Andy? Wouldn't be a bad idea to read that.
I do. We do have it posted up. I think we got it on Thursday night. But we can sure do this. There is a preparatory part to it. We did get it mailed out this week. We can sure do that if you guys will join me.
Yes,
dear, dear Heavenly Father, protect your remnant in these dark and deceitful days. Your word tells us that it is you that delivers from the snare, from the storm, and from the hand of all who hate us. You are our refuge and shelter. We look to you, O Lord, and we put on the full armor of God that you have provided. We do believe, Psalms 91, that 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not approach us and ours. We trust and obey you and your word. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your remnant. Give them wisdom, understanding, and discernment, as well as protection, as we go forward into battle. We pray that none of your people would be deceived by these Antichrist alphabet soup enemies of yours. O Lord, the nations make an uproar against you and against your people, O God. Do not be silent, and do not forget your people and your promise to them. Protect and deliver them from the evil of today. We bind our enemies that they may not have even one of yours, O Lord. In your wrath, remember mercy for any of your people that are deceived, and give them the chance to repent before it is too late. Many of your enemies will gather on the 24th of this month in the devil's city to gloat and brag of their ungodliness and their sin. Deal with them, as you dealt with your enemy Korah in Numbers 16:31-33, so that all may know that the God and Creator of all is a jealous God and will not stand for this wickedness to continue in his land. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Well, men, thanks for joining us. We invite you to church tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Mountain Time, at our website, scripturesforamerica.org. Guys,
don't forget about daylight savings time.
Daylight savings time. Turn your clock forward tonight. Spring it ahead 1 hour. Well, good day, gentlemen. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Yep.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, they hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My
My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out,
ride them more, snake high.
Move it, move it, move it. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake.